God, we just want to thank you that you care about us and you care about what's going on in our lives. God, it's May. It's crazy. We've got a little bit of spring fever. Just really looking forward to summer. Would you help us tonight as we're trying to focus for a few minutes on you? And what does it look like in our own life as we take a look at control? God, sometimes we just want to be in control of our own life, and sometimes it's really hard to give up. So, God, would you teach us about that tonight? Would you bless our groups tonight? Would you keep us safe tonight? And we pray that you would give us strength to finish the school year strong. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys, my senior year in college, my class took a trip to Colorado. And we were going to go out to Colorado and see a whole bunch of different ministries that were going on out there. We're going to go to Loveland, Colorado, and see what happens with group ministries. There's a big publishing house there. We went to Denver and went to the city, and we were sharing the gospel in downtown Denver. And we were doing all kinds of things to look at different kinds of ways to do ministry. We looked at a really cool, diverse church that was meeting in inner city Denver that had races of all different kinds at this one church. They had a really big emphasis on diversity and trying to love their city. But before we got to Denver, we had basically taken a big road trip in a big bus from Indiana to Colorado. So the bus looked something like this. Okay, we were on a big kind of like sleeper coach bus. So in the bus, all the seats like converted into kind of like hammock beds, if you will. So there was like two layers of people there. And then the bus we had actually had a third layer up high. And I was actually married at the time, finished my last semester of school, married to my wife Tina. We went on the trip together with a whole bunch of our classmates, and we're sleeping in sleeping bags. Everybody's sleeping bag, middle of the night. It's about 5 a.m., and we're sleeping up here on this top rack over above the driver, okay? And I hear the driver yell in the middle of the night. And he's like, I've lost it. And I have no idea what he's talking about. And all of a sudden, Kathy, a girl in my class that was sitting like a row behind, all of a sudden her body is on top of us. And all the students fell out of their beds and are on the floor. And our bus had lost its steering. We were going 60 miles an hour on the highway. And the highway bends to the right. And the driver's like, holy cow, I cannot turn. I have no control over the bus. And so we went careening straight into the median. It was a grass median, kind of like those Vs, you know, that they have. And I got to be honest, we were in a daze, right? We were rattled. And it felt like something pushed us back and kept us from going into the oncoming traffic. Because there was no cement wall, there was no like chain rail, there was no metal rail. It was just that grass median and then the other set of traffic flying the other way. And so, praise God, the bus did not tip over and we did not go flying into oncoming traffic. And so we, in the middle of the night, all unload in our pajamas, get off the bus, there's snow on the ground, and we're like dazed, and we see these muddy tracks of this giant bus like through the grass, and we're looking back, and we're all like, oh my gosh, we're still alive. And what the heck just happened? So it turned out that there's a yoke coupling that kind of looks like this that connects the steering column to the front axle. And that yoke assembly came apart. And it was an older bus, and it one of the bearings of the nuts came loose or came off. And so literally, like, we were out of control and at the whim of speed and gravity and whatnot. But we knew something better. We knew that God had protected us that day. I mean, I just can't explain. It just felt like a wall of angels was just like, whoosh, and just kept our bus from just careening into a gigantic, you know, kind of accident that would have been in the newspaper kind of thing. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Here's why I tell you that story. Sometimes life is out of control. Sometimes your lives are out of control. And in that instance, man, we had zero control of our direction, of our safety, of all that. And in the end, here's what was cool. God didn't need a steering wheel to drive our life, to be in control of our life. He protected me and all my classmates. crazy thing happens. We get a tow truck. I don't know if you've ever seen a tow truck that can tow a bus, but it's a really big tow truck, right? Get a tow truck. They bring out several hours later another charter bus, and we offload all of our luggage onto this other bus, and we continue on our trip. And we're all, like, you know, kissing the ground and hugging your friends and calling your mom and just be like, yeah, all right, everybody's alive. We're okay. Because one of those moments from in my life where I remember just being completely out of control and at the whim of life, you know? Life can just change, you know? A loose nut and the whole thing falls apart, and you know, how many times is life like that? You guys, we're going to take a look at a guy in the Bible who was very much in control of his life. But how about you? Sometimes I think it can be scary to be out of control. Have you ever been snow skiing? I've been snow skiing on the ski lift, and I've watched out of control skiers, beginners who are not supposed to be on the Black Diamond Hill or even the Blue Hill, people who haven't even learned how to snowplow or take on and off their skis yet, are like barreling down the hill and running into guardrails and other people and flying off course, right? Anybody have a remote control car? You guys have remote control cars? Anybody have those at home? Ever drive a remote control car until the car is like out of range, and then like it doesn't get the transmission anymore, and the car is just going. It's either gone or it wrecks, or you're just like, and it goes, you know, whatever. And you got to get closer and closer and closer to get the controls to work again, right? How many of you like being in control of your own life? Yes? Yeah, I think that's pretty normal. I mean, wouldn't you say that being in control is better than being out of control? Typically. How about when it comes to your home or school or work, or maybe it's practice, or maybe it's your time on the weekend? Wouldn't it be easier if you could make all the decisions for yourself and for your family, and you get to do the things that you always want to do? Would that be better? So think about all the people who have control in your life that's not you. Okay, maybe parents, teachers, coaches. Maybe you've got a boss at work. All right, but raise your hand if you would love to have more control over some of these things in your life. More control over your phone, your TV, your internet time. More control over who you hang out with. More control over who you date or your schedule or your curfew or your chores or what you want to buy. Anybody want more control over that stuff? Okay. Maybe you've got a fair amount of freedom, and maybe your parents give you some of that control, but it was probably earned, right? But sometimes we want more than maybe the people in authority over us are willing to give. And I think if we're honest, deep down, don't you believe that you're the best person to know and to guide your own life? I think sometimes we think that we are. That you have more control, that things might go better for you. All right, here's the problem with taking control. It's this. That control has its limits. There's a limit to how much you can actually manage the outcomes of things, right? So taking control is great until it doesn't work. Until you hit a moment when I can do it turns into I can't do it anymore. Raise your hand if you've ever had a moment where you're like, all of a sudden you realize I just can't do it on my own. Everybody have that moment? I don't know what it was for you. Whether it was a relationship or family stuff, or maybe it was a sport or an activity or band or school or just something you just didn't know how to do. And you needed somebody else's wisdom. You guys, I had a weird moment where, 2 years ago, we were trying to buy a house. I don't know if you guys remember the story. We were trying to sell our home, sold our home pretty quick in about a week or so, and then we were looking for a home. We tried to buy 3 homes, and they were all sold out from under us. Other bidders got in quicker, and we did not get a home in time for the fall school year to begin. So we had to move into an apartment, which we're trying to avoid, and I was not looking forward to. And on the last house deal, I'm praying, and our cell group's praying, and we're talking to friends, and we're asking God, and we're trying to get guidance and direction. And in the end, like, it didn't really pass the home inspection, and we had to walk away. And that was like the last chance to get in before like September. And I was angry and frustrated and mad, and I wanted to be in control, and I had a system, and I had a plan. And if we could have done it by this certain date, everything would have been smooth. And God's like turning the box upside down and shaking it. Ha, 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 ha. No, I don't think God's up there laughing. But he was teaching us something, you know, about him being in control and not us. And it was very humbling and very difficult. And finally, my youngest son's like, man, you guys suck at buying houses, because we had to walk away from like 3 of them. And in his defense, that was probably an appropriate comment. And so we spent 6 months in an apartment over on Roberts and Alton Derby and the Summit Apartments over there. Didn't want to have to move twice. So, like, half our belongings are in storage, and we can't find what we need. I don't know. Devin's starting, I don't know, was it sixth grade? I don't remember. So, yeah, and we did have a pool. That was a bonus. That was about the only thing I liked about that place. Yeah. Here's the crazy thing. In December, God provided a new property for us, and we bought our home and got in before Christmas. And the boys were able to stay in their same school districts and all that kind of stuff. But my timing was not God's timing. And I was trying to control the whole thing, and it killed me on the inside. It was stressful and agonizing. Maybe you're not trying to buy a home, okay? But for a teenager, maybe there's something you're trying to control. Think of what are some of the things that you try to manage, you try to control? Maybe it's your schedule. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's something else. That can be really hard to let go of. And it was really hard for me to let go of. And I needed help. I just did. So let me ask you this. You can control your actions, right? You can control what you do. But can you control the outcome? Like, you can study hard for the test, and you can take the test, but you may not have control over whether you pass it or not, or whether you get an A on it or not, right? What if you busted your butt and you still bombed it? That's frustrating, right? Or you treated your boyfriend or girlfriend really great, with respect and honor and love, but you still got dumped. That hurts, right? When you do the right stuff. Or you do the right thing. You're honest. You tell the truth with mom and dad. You come clean on all your stuff, and you try to be legit with them, and you still get grounded for stuff. That's hard. Or maybe you try to keep your parents together, and the relationship is struggling, and they break up anyway, and it's hard on the entire family, and it hurts. Or maybe you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for a situation to get better, and in the end, it didn't get better, you know? And so you're left with a weird, sinking feeling in your gut that prayer wasn't answered, and it's hard, right? So here's the deal. When you realize that you can't control things, most of us respond in one of two ways. All right, so you might respond by, like, overdoing it. So you're like, all right, I'm going to super control this thing. All right, so you go on max, and you're trying as much as you can to push harder, to do more, and you obsess about it. You obsess about your grades, or you get completely stressed out about it, or you try harder at practice to get the coach's attention, or you try harder to improve your outward appearance, and you're doing all kinds of stuff to your face and your body and your clothes, and you're trying harder even just to get God's approval. Maybe that's how you react to feeling like things are starting to slip out of your control. And then the opposite would be this. You just give up. You just completely say, screw it all, forget it, I can't do it. And so you stop trying. And instead of pushing harder, you give up. You run away, and you avoid responsibility. You quit studying. You stop connecting with people, and you stop praying and trying to connect with God. And so maybe you're on that extreme. But unfortunately, neither way helps us get the outcome that we want. So the question is, if these don't work, then what do we do? Is there another option? So, like, in our worst moments in life, I think sometimes occur when we realize we're not enough. We can't do it on our own. And that when our ability to control the outcomes runs out, we're stuck. And that's exactly what this centurion we're going to take a look at, this Roman officer in the army, this is what he realizes. That he didn't have enough authority or power or influence or control to help a friend of his. He had a lot of those things in the army, though. He had a lot of power and a lot of control and a lot of authority in his world. But he didn't have enough to overcome sickness and death, which is what his friend was facing. So we're going to take a look at, who wants to read Matthew 8 for us? It's a little bit longer, but I would love for somebody to come on up here and read it for us.
When Jesus had entered the Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come to under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to a servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, and it will be done just as you believed it would. And the servant was healed at that very hour.
Cool. Thanks, Thomas. All right, I want you guys to grab a hold of this, okay? Roman centurion, Roman officer, okay? Was he Jewish? So I want you to get this. Powerful Roman leader. Who does he turn to when he needs help? Jesus. That's weird. You need to understand that. That is not normal, okay? The Romans were not lining up to follow Jesus. They were lining up to kill him, right? So strange that in the end, a Roman officer probably took a little bit of risk for him to pursue Jesus to help his friend, right? Also strange, why would the officer give a rip about his servant, right? That doesn't seem like someone you would go to bat for, maybe, right? Well, you might think of it more like this, that in that time, it was more like an estate manager, okay? So it wasn't just a slave. And you also get the feeling, you know what? The officer liked this guy, cared about this guy, perhaps was friends with him, even though he was under him. Here's the crazy thing. This guy is used to military order, right? He commands all these troops. He's like, you go here, you go here, you go here, and people follow and listen. And so he has this perspective that, you know what? He understands Jesus' power, which is crazy, because even the Jews didn't get this. That he says, look, you don't even need to come to my house. You don't even need to lay hands on this guy. You don't even need to see him or even be in the same room with this guy. I know you can heal him from a distance. You just say the word, and the people under your command will listen, and he'll be healed. I believe that. That's some serious faith. And in fact, Jesus is so impressed. He's like, I haven't seen this anywhere in Israel. This is crazy. And this guy is a Roman, a non-Jew, right? And it's wild. This guy gives up some of his, you know, he can't do it. He can't make the guy well. So he goes to Jesus and he asks him to heal him. And then what's so cool is he does. Jesus is like, done. Your faith has healed this guy. You're done. He's healed. Go home. When you get there, he'll be good to go. That's crazy. Isn't that crazy? I think that's pretty wild. You guys, it's impressive that in his moment of weakness, the officer admits he can't do it. He turns to the Jewish God, right? He turns to the God of to Jesus, basically. Because sometimes we don't do that in our own life. We hit a wall. We realize we're out of control. We feel like we can't fix it. We don't know if we can do it anymore. And a lot of times we'll turn to other stuff. Maybe we'll turn to alcohol, or maybe we'll turn to drugs, or we'll OD on, you know, 18 hours of Netflix, or we'll go binge on chocolate, or we'll go spend lots of money that we don't have, really. Are you with me? We find other ways to cope, and a lot of them aren't healthy ways. You guys, the crazy thing about the centurion is this. He didn't have to try harder. Remember, that was the first option. He didn't have to try harder. And he didn't have to quit. He had a third option, and the third option is what I want to encourage you guys to do tonight, and that's surrender. Surrender control to a higher authority. Surrender control to God and ask him to help. And you guys, that's our option. When our ability runs out, the cool thing is Jesus' ability keeps going. The Roman officer displayed tremendous faith as he trusted Jesus to do what he said he would do and just to give his word and to heal the guy from a distance. And he understood that Jesus had the power over life and death. You guys, if Jesus has power over life and death, do you think he can help you with your problems? The answer is yes, but in my heart, I doubt it. Like, I doubt that he will come through. I doubt that it'll happen. I'd still try to take control back. But if Jesus has control and power over life and death, can he figure out your house situations? Can he figure out your homework stuff? Can he figure out your college deal? Can he figure out your career path? Can he figure out your dating situation? Yeah. So ask him, because he sees it all and he can help. All right, we're going to bring this home to where you live, okay? I want you to grab a hold of these 4 points. To realize it, accept it, surrender it, and then practice it. And what is it? So to realize it is realize that you're not in control. I don't think that's new for you. But to really, really grab a hold of that, you can't control your circumstances, but you can control how you react to them. You can control your behavior. So you're not responsible for your parents' marriage. You're not responsible for your grandmother's death. You're not responsible for the natural disasters. You're not responsible for these things that are out of your control. They might be difficult. They might be hard. But remember, over the whole thing, God is in control of your heart, of your life, and of the world. So that's the first one. Realize it. The next one is you can know that knowledge in your head, but then you got to accept it and let it sink in. And that it's actually a good thing. Check this out. It's actually a good thing that you're not in control. Do you know all? Do you see all? You don't. So it's actually better if God is in control than if we are. Here's what that might let you do. If you can accept that and let it wash over you, you might be able to relax a little bit. You might be able to let some of the pressure simmer down. That you might find some freedom and some happiness in knowing, hey, it doesn't all ride on me. That could be a relief. And the next one is to surrender it. This is hard because you don't just do it once. You don't say, all right, God, here's my life. Okay, and then go. And the rest of your life, you never have to revisit that topic. I wish. But it ends up being a daily thing, an hourly thing, a weekly thing, a monthly thing. Depending on how your life is going and what's happening, you might have to surrender many, many times. And let me tell you this. It's not giving up. Surrender and giving up are not the same thing. You are choosing to sit in the passenger seat and invite God to drive. At any time, you can kick him and push him out the door, and you can take the steering wheel back. But over and over again, you're like, oh, just kick God out. He's just rolling down the street. No, it's not like that. But you get the point, though. You can take control back whenever you want. But God's like, look, I will guide and drive your life if you let me. And we need to invite him to come and sit there and do it. So surrendering control of your life to God and depending on him. Why? Well, he sees all. He knows all. He wants to protect you. He wants to guide you. And he wants to help you out. And he wanted to help the centurion. You guys, this last point I just added today. In fact, it's not even my point. I had a chance to go down to the children's hospital today, and I was visiting one of your friends, Rachel McLaughlin, who's there. And I was talking with Rachel, and she's having a rough time. But I said, hey, Rachel, I'm teaching tonight. She's like, what are you teaching on? I said, well, I'm teaching on control. And she looks at me, and she's like, I'm learning about that right now. I said, really? I said, you know what? Why don't you help me, Rachel? I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to say tonight, but could you give me some tips? What do you think the students need to hear about control? So she says this, well, tell them it's hard. Tell them it's hard work. It's hard. Just know up front, letting go is hard. I'm like, sweet, I'll tell them that. They need to know that. And she's living this right now. She's feeling that. It's hard. I said, well, what else do they need to know? She said, well, tell them to give control to God because he can help you. I said, really? She's like, yeah. He can see everything. I said, that's great. I'll tell him. Give God control. And then the last point really was not in my brain. It was not what I was thinking. It was not where I was going with the lesson. And she says to me, but Larry, it's not all about God either. I said, okay, well, explain that. You know, what's that about? She's like, well, sometimes you have to regain control. I said, that's very insightful. And so she went on to tell me like some things in her life that she needed to regain control of. So I wanted to share with you. This whole lesson was just going to be about surrender, but I think there's a piece, and I think what Rachel said, there's a piece of that that's really true, and it's this last one, that you need to practice it. And it's hard to give it to God. It takes hard work. But the practicing part is this, that sometimes we need to practice self-control over areas in our life that are out of control. Does that make sense? It's not taking control back from God. That's not it. It's practicing self-control in areas of your life that are out of control. Are you with me? So some things in your life that are out of control, you need God's help. Yeah, definitely. But you might also need to exercise some mental discipline, some physical discipline, some self-control over your thinking, over your behavior. And I thought, you know what? We're going to add that, because that is a fantastic idea to add to this point tonight. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to close it out. What if you started believing today that God cared about your life as much as you do? What if you started believing that God cared about your life as much as you do? And even if you're not sure, even if you think it's scary, even if it's just for a week, would you be willing to choose to let him be in charge today? Let him be in charge this week. Give him that big decision. Give him that hurt and that pain. Give him that confusion. Give him that whatever you fill in the blank. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's your work. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's your weekend plans. Maybe it's, I don't know, Kai just wrote an article on entertainment. Maybe it's how you spend your time, you know, or what you let your mind think about. But in the end, here's the deal. Surrender usually starts with prayer. You got to talk to God and ask him. So I'm going to pray right here in a moment. And here's what you could do. You could pray and ask God, take your fears, take your hopes, take your expectations, take your disappointments, and lay them at Jesus' feet. And do what the centurion did. Admit you can't do it on your own and ask Jesus for help. Cool? All right, pray with me. God, it's hard to teach on this because I feel it all the time. I want to be in control. I don't like letting go. But you are a good God, a just God, and a faithful God. And you see all, and you know all, and you know the best path for us. God, would you take our hurt, take our pain, take our fear, take our hopes and dreams, and guide them, and shape them, and mold them. God, right now, we just take our hand, and we open it up, and we let go. And we invite you in, and we ask you for help. Help us, God. We pray in your name. Amen.